Right now, we've got Mark Dorison of the Orange County Board of Commissioners joining us here in the studio, and you've just come from a retirement party, but not your own, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Don't get everyone all excited.
So James Williams, who is a public defender here in Orange County, is stepping down, and there was a pretty significant retirement party for him.
Oh, it was wonderful ceremony they had just a little while ago at the in the Mural Courthouse up in Hillsborough. James Williams has been the public defender in Orange County and Chatham County for 27 years. So, you know, it was a really wonderful turnout, you know, lots of current and former public defenders and staff and investigators and folks who have worked for him, judges, you know, lawyers in the community, public defenders from other counties came. It was really a wonderful afternoon. Former Judge Pat Devine was the master of ceremonies, and Judge Carl Fox spoke, District Attorney Jim Woodall, Chief District Court Judge Joe Buckner, one of James's employees, assistant public defender, spoke on behalf of all those folks, and Gene Nickel from UNC Law gave just a really rousing speech about, you know, one of the great things about James Williams is, in addition to the incredible work he's done representing indigent criminal defendants in Orange and Chatham County, is he's also done a tremendous job raising the profile of some of the more systemic issues in the criminal justice system, particularly around racial disparities and the, you know, the problems of access for poor people. And so it was so Gene kind of brought all that together.
And I mean, it sounds like, and certainly the case, you know, over and above having been the public defender for 25 plus years, like that doesn't even begin to speak to his legacy.
That's right. And, you know, he has done more, I think, than almost anyone in the state to really force the legal community, particularly, but the community at large, to really begin to confront, you know, racial disparities in policing, in, you know, incarceration rates, and really issues about, you know, access to justice and what happens to low wealth people and how many of them end up spending time in jail just because they're poor, because of the fees and fines and bond structure that we have in place.
And doing all of that in the context of being a public defender, which the one thing that, if anyone knows anything about the public defender's office, it's that they're constantly overworked, and to be able to do that out of that capacity is just incredible. It really underscores how important the public defender's office is, not just to keep the legal system functioning and make sure everyone's got representation, but also just the service that you can provide in that capacity as well.
That's right. And you know, it's interesting because when you think about the you know, the 20 plus years, the 27 years that he's been the public defender, that, you know, there have been some very high profile, very controversial cases in our community. You know, Wendell Williamson case and, you know, the Eve Carson, the Estes Road jogger shooting, you know, back in the early 90s. And those were controversial, high profile cases that really, damaged the whole community. And James's leadership in the public defender's office, not only on behalf of his clients, but really on behalf of the residents, I think was an integral part in helping the community heal.
Speaking with Mark Dorsey, again, chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, it just came from that meeting, but obviously a busy time for Orange County Commissioners as well, because it is budget season. So how is that conversation going?
Well, it's going pretty well, I think. Mm-hmm. We've got, you know, we're slated to adopt a budget, the final approval on June 20th. So we're going to spend meetings, you know, every Tuesday and Thursday, the first 3 weeks of June, really hammering out the details and trying to, you know, make the final tweaks in the county manager's budget. And this is where we get to sort of all the nitty gritty, you know, are we going to move stuff around? Are we going to, you know, are we going to, be able to fund every, you know, we can't fund everything that we're being asked to fund. So, you know, one of the real challenges, I think, for the commissioners, and I really think for any local elected officials or any elected officials, I guess, is how do you prioritize, right? I think we, you know, that's the one thing I think I wish we could all do a better job of. We know we have this huge list of wants and needs, And we also know that we aren't able to cover everything, you know, all at the same time. So how do you prioritize money here this year but not money there this year? And that's going to be a challenge.
It's a really interesting question that I periodically ask elected officials. You've got your own conception of what's best for Orange County, but you're also representing 150,000 residents too. So how do you begin to take public opinion into account on something like this, like the budget, which is complex, which not everyone has a clear grasp of? And I think the vast majority or 100% of us don't have a full grasp of every single thing that goes into the budget. How do you weigh public opinion? How do you weigh just sort of generally Orange County's values and what people are telling you either in public hearings or in feedback or in meetings in the supermarket and things like that? How do you do that?
It's a great question. And I think, you know, one of the ways I try to do it is really get a sense of when people tell me they're concerned about issue A or issue B, is really try to understand, you know, what is the nature of the concern, and particularly when you're talking about budgeting, thinking how that fits into sort of the broader goals and values of the county. And so, you know, a good example is we have all these nonprofits that do all this great work. They all, and we have an outside agency funding line item, and you have to figure out sort of how to give those, how to distribute those resources. And so really thinking about things like, how do you maximize the money that you have? So are there places where putting money in this pot will have ripples effects and produce a broader outcome? Sometimes that's not the easiest way to do it. Affordable housing is a good example where we know that if we really want to serve the hardest to serve residents, so people at the very lowest income levels, that takes a lot more subsidy. And so you could say, well, I could take this, just pick a number, 150,000, and I could give it to Group A, which could spread it around and do home repairs on, you know, 5 homes or 10 homes. Or we could give it to Group B that is going to create, you know, maybe one affordable unit, but that's going to be affordable for a target population that's 30% of area median income, very low wealth, or other special needs populations. I mean, it's not always just a mathematical balancing. And so, I mean, I think that as we're looking at the housing bond in particular and other resources, you know, really trying to match what we've been talking about our values are to how we spend the money.
What's the hardest question that you have to answer? Other than that one, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, they're all hard. I mean, the question is always, you know, I think it's the phrasing of the question that's hardest to answer, which is, if you believe in this, if you say you're a social justice advocate, how can you rationalize not giving money to this or giving money to that? And so I think, you know, it's how do you so the question is how you analyze these things within the framework that I think we generally share, goals about social justice, affordable housing, environmental, you know, preserving environmental quality, you know, having a diverse, socially and economically diverse community. You know, it's easy to share those goals. The real questions become, you know, how is what you're doing effectuating those goals, or how do you justify it? If we think it's not effectuating those goals.
Speaking with Mark Dorison, orangecountync.gov is the website, and you can get County Manager Hammersley's proposed budget online, plus schedule of meetings, and there's going to be a few of them between now and June 20th, you said, for the target date for the budget. How closely are you following? I know we talked about this last week with the Senate, but the State House budget debate.
Well, I've been trying to follow it. The things that come out of Raleigh are so all over the place, it's easy to kind of get
still
lost
can't wrap my
that.
Mind behind, they haven't released the full budget yet, and they're voting on Friday, theoretically. Like, we've got a budget proposal. You can get on the website and look at the whole thing right now if you've got the time to do it. And the vote isn't for 3 weeks. They're putting this out in piecemeal. It's not fully out, and they're theoretically voting in 2 days, which to me is ridiculous. But
well, that's sort of par for the course for the legislature. There are often years where you hear from folks saying, we just got this, you know, this hundreds of pages of document, you know, an hour ago, and we're going to supposed to vote on it, you know, at 2 a.m. or something else. But there, you know, there's some encouraging things, I think, that I've been hearing. Certainly the raise the age stuff is encouraging. The House is at least purportedly pushing it to be effective a year earlier than the Senate. Mm. I was happy to see that the House put back the money that the Senate wanted to take from the law school. We'll see how that works out. This is not part of the budget, but there's a bill that was introduced in the House. I think we talked about this last week to lift that 10% cap on light rail funding. That'd certainly have an impact. I think on the bigger issues generally about education, how that's going to get funded, how much funding will be there. It's sort of hard to get too excited about it when it's all in flux.
Yeah. So we'll have the reconciliation and then the House and Senate will vote. And then it goes to Governor Cooper for a signature, but that's going to be vetoed and overridden probably, right?
I presume,
You presume. Speaking with Mark Dorison again, Orange County Commissioner, is also managing attorney for the Center for Civil Rights at UNC. So let's talk about gerrymandering, which is my pet issue. We've got another case that got kicked from the U.S. Supreme Court back to the state Supreme Court. Is this Dixon v. Rucho, I'm remembering right? Kirk Ross, I think it was, posted a link. It wasn't his article, but he posted a link to it on social media. Just a quick breakdown of all of the different cases. And for someone who's been following this pretty closely, just to see the sheer number of different lawsuits that are all challenging gerrymandering that are currently making their way through the courts in just North Carolina was just astonishing to me. And to sort of think about, you've got the 2011 redistricting and the 2016 redistricting and the state legislative district lines and the U.S. congressional district lines and racial gerrymandering and partisan gerrymandering. And there are cases that are moving through the courts that challenge every combination of all of those possible different ones. It's just absolutely mind-blowing how the system that we have for drawing district lines leads to this legal crisis every single time we do it. That lasts the entire decade, third decade in a row, right?
I mean, the point I was going to make. You know, we're talking about redistrictings that took place in 2011, mm-hmm. right, in the wake of the 2010 census. It's 2017 now. And some of those districts that we're operating under have been declared unconstitutional, and yet we're still operating under them. And I do appreciate you pointing out that that this is not new for North Carolina. North Carolina has sort of been ground zero for voting rights in general and gerrymandering, you know, for decades. Going back to the 90s and there were cases around the 12th district when it was first drawn in the wake of the 1990 census. Mm-hmm. And that went back and forth several times. And so it is pretty stunning, though, to think that at every turn, every districts that have been drawn have been challenged, and the legislature keeps getting rejected. Its proposals keep getting overturned, and there's lots of folks that are organizing around redistricting commissions, nonpartisan, not done by the legislature, mm-hmm. in an effort to get away from this. Again, it's this partisanship, the race discrimination, and the costs and delay. And so again, the idea that you're operating under, that we're governed by a legislature right now that was elected from unconstitutionally drawn districts.
Yep.
Really, when you think about that, that sort of undergirds everything.
Yeah.
And then the other piece of it is we've also seen redistricting and litigation around the legislative attempts to redistrict local municipal elections, county elections, school board elections. So it really, what it really highlights is the bigger structural issues that you pointed out, which is we're no longer fighting about who has the better political argument on how to deal with things like poverty and education and protecting the environment. We're now fighting over how to rig the game to favor one group and disfavor another.
Yeah. And the only kind of saving grace for me is that this isn't new. Like, we've been trying to rig the game for decades and decades, and we've lurched forward progressively over the last 100+ years, but yeah, it's just, it's so frustrating to watch it in real time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Speaking with Mark Doris in Orange County Board of Commissioners, so what do you think is going to happen when the state Supreme Court hears the Dixon case? Because they've already heard this thing twice, and for all of the cases where courts have struck down the district lines and struck them down and struck them down, this is the one case where the state Supreme Court has said, well, actually, in this case, the argument is invalid and the lines are fine as far as this argument goes. But now the U.S. Supreme Court rules last week on a very similar issue that the lines are unconstitutional, so now it's kicking it back. So what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I don't know, but I don't think the Supreme Court can do the sort of same thing it did last time and said, okay, now we're going to look at a different argument. It's everything still looks fine.
Right.
I don't think there's any way to look at the court's decision, the Supreme Court's decision to send this back to the state Supreme Court as anything other than a real rebuke to the way they handled it last time. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that there will be, you know, there's been some turnover on the court. I think we also now have this litany of cases and decisions that are going higher and higher. So I'm hoping that the state Supreme Court will really do the kind of detailed analysis that we saw in Judge Kagan's opinion in the other case.
OrangeCountyNC.gov to hear more about the budget issue and other items on the agenda for the Orange County Board of Commissioners. Meetings ongoing through June until the budget debate on June 20th. What else is going on in the county?
You know, there's so much always going on. Well, one thing that is worth noting is next week on June 8th, the Human Relations Commission is sponsoring a community conversation about the Confederate flag and whether that imagery is appropriate to be in schools. And that's going to be an open to the public opportunity for folks to talk and hear about the issues that are going on related to. It's primarily been focused on Orange County schools, but Chapel Hill, Carborough City Schools has similar policies. And so that's one issue that I'm interested to see. I think there's been some really great organizing by the community around it. And I think, you know, having these conversations, bringing folks together to really get a sense of how and why people feel so strongly is important.
OrangeCountyNC.gov. Find out more. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, my friend.